We are wrapping up this series called My Big Fat Mouth, or Me and My Big Fat Mouth. I don't know how many of you recognize that your mouth gets you into problems. That's a part of the problem, is just recognizing that your mouth gets you into problems. We need to understand the power of our words and how important the words are that you use, how important they actually are. That they have great power. They have great ability. They can shift your faith just by the words that you use. They can build others up and they can tear other people down at the same time. And as we've looked at the series, I want to make sure that we get this idea that the reason we titled it Me and My Big Mouth is because this is not just the anatomy of our mouth problem. This is a much deeper problem where Jesus identifies it in Luke 6:45 when he says, "What flows out of your heart," or "what flows from what you say flows from what is in your heart." And while our mouths may move and shape words, our heart is the one, it's the issue that decides which words we're going to use. Our heart gives attitude to the words that we say. So in other words, your words can be great, but at the same time, if the attitude or when the attitude is wrong, it totally changes the purpose of your words. It totally changes the potential of your words. In the book of James, we've looked at this, but I want to wrap it up, and as we wrap up the series, I want to remind us. Chapter 3, James says this: "With the tongue we praise our Lord and Father, and with it we curse human beings who have been made in God's likeness. Out of the same mouth come praises and cursing. My brothers and sisters, this should not be. Can both fresh water and salt water flow from the same spring?" Get the analogy there? Can fresh water and salt water flow from the same spring? And the answer, obviously, is no. And where is the spring that those words are coming from? Our heart. So in other words, is your heart good or is it not good? Not is it kind periodically. Is it in touch with God or not in touch with God? The metaphor that James is giving is this, that fresh water gives life. Salt water is of no use to anyone. And so fresh water is what gives life. That's what we're looking for. That's what we're asking God to give us, a source, a spring of fresh water that gives life to other people. In this series, we've looked at complaining, criticizing, lying, and gossiping. All these are negative expressions of our mouths. They're negative expressions of our heart. Complaining, criticism, lying, gossip, all those are an expression of your heart. And so, but it's not a good expression. So last week I was deciding, you know what, I want to change this and not just look at the negative, I want to look at the positive side of this. I want to look at a different kind of expression as we wrap it up. When we talk about the heart, we're not talking about the physical heart that pumps blood and keeps you alive. The Bible is talking about, when the Bible refers to this heart issue, it's about our soul. It's about the core of who we are. And we looked at this scripture last week, but I want to keep reminding us. Jeremiah 17 says this: "The human heart is the most deceitful of all things and desperately wicked. Who really knows how bad it is?" And obviously, God is the only one who knows how bad it is. But get this. It's the soul of man that is wicked to the core. That's what needs, when we say, you know what, God wants to change your life. What is God changing? He's changing the soul of our lives. He's changing this heart issue. He's not changing our physical parts. He's changing this soul, because out of this soul comes life. Out of this soul comes potential. The condition of our hearts is a huge problem. The nature, or our natural condition of the heart and our soul, is not good. However, listen to what God says. It's found in Ezekiel 36, and he says this: "I will give you a new heart, and I will put a new spirit in you. And I will take out your stony, stubborn heart and give you a tender, responsive heart. And I will put my spirit in you so that you will follow my decrees and be careful to obey my regulations." Look, this is like the core of what we're looking at. what we need to understand. And that is this idea that you and I cannot change our hearts. We cannot change this problem that we have. Only God can. The great thing is that's why Jesus came. That's why we are here. That's what God came to do, was to change the soul of man that is so stubborn and so rocky and so bitter, and to change the whole nature of this stubbornness within us. A new heart. That's what we're looking at. And a new heart produces new words. You want new words, you've got to have a new heart. New heart, new words, new purposes. And we go back to what James said in James 3:10. It says, out of the same mouth come praise and cursing. And my brothers and sisters, this should not be. So when God reshapes our heart, rather than cursing, our heart starts shaping different words. When God comes in and begins to change our soul, the soul of man, our words begin to change. And they go from cursing to praise. That's what this whole scripture that James is talking about is all about. He's saying, look, you cannot praise God and curse man. You can't have these two different types of communication coming out of the same source. It just can't happen. When we hear the word praise, most people think we're talking about singing in church, all right? If you go to most churches, they refer to the time of singing as praise and worship, basically. But it's way more than that. And I just want to give a sense of clarity so that you understand just what is praise and worship and what are the differences. First of all, worship is really what I do in response to God's greatness. That's what worship is. So worship, when we are here in the Sunday morning and we're singing songs, you see people raise their hands, right? Because the Bible says, lift up holy hands unto God. The Bible says, lift our hands in the gathering place unto God. It's a form of saying, look at God, I release and I give up to you. I'm giving you what you deserve. So, but it's a response. Okay, do you get that? So worship is a response to God's greatness. Now, that could also be this. How you work in your job that God has given you is worship. How you treat your spouse is worship. What God has given you, how do you treat what God has given you? How do you respond with what God has given you? All of the expression of our life is worship, okay? Because it's an outward expression. Family, friends, service, everything. All right, praise, on the other hand, are the words that I use to speak of God's greatness. So while worship is what I do, the action of my life in response to God's greatness, praise is the words that I use to speak of God's greatness. David said it this way in Psalms 34. He says, I will praise the Lord at all times. His praise, I will constantly speak his praises. Remember, we are responsible for how we use our words. So in Proverbs 18, the message, it says that words kill and words give life. They're either poison or fruit that we choose. So we have to decide, what is the purpose that we want our words to have? Do we want them to be life-giving, or do we want them to kill? Most people don't want them to kill. Most people don't want them to rob others of life. The problem is they still are not necessarily life-giving just because that's what we want. It's really, again, goes back to this heart condition. A couple of weeks ago, we looked at how we can't say, I love God and hate others in church, right? We talked about that. We can't say, hey, I love God, but I don't like these other people, because God says, you can't love me and not love those that are around me. It's the same thing with the scripture we just read. We can't say that we love God and curse the people that he has made. It's the same principle that we're looking at. So why is speaking of God's greatness so important? First of all, that you were created to praise God. You were created to speak of God's greatness, whether you realize that or not. Isaiah 43 says this, the people I made especially for myself, a people custom made to praise me. That is part of the reason why God has created us. God has created us to speak of his greatness. Another reason is because it's a part of your purpose in life. Just a part. You were created, not just to speak of God's greatness. It's a part of your purpose. 1 Peter 2:9 says, "You are a chosen people, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, God's special possession, that you may declare the praises of him who called you out of darkness into his wonderful light." So you're chosen to be a spokesman, to speak of God's greatness. That's what praises means, is speaking of God's greatness. And this is not so much a command as it is a response to the activity of God in our lives. If God has given you breath to breathe, which I would assume that's all of you here, even if you're on an oxygen tank, it's still breath that God has given you to breathe, then we need to be speaking of his greatness. Psalms 150 says, "Let everything that hath breath praise the Lord." So let me show you another place in Scripture where Jesus deals with this. It says this, "The whole crowd of disciples burst into enthusiastic praise over all the mighty works that they had witnessed." Okay, so you got to get this picture. All these disciples are bursting into praise, or they're speaking of God's greatness out loud. Okay, so there's other people there, but the disciples are enthusiastically talking about how great God is and what he's actually doing. And the Pharisees are there, and I want to jump to verse 39, but it says this, "Some Pharisees from the crowd told him, Jesus, 'Teacher, get your disciples under control.' But he said, 'If they keep quiet, the stones would do it for them,' shouting praise." I don't know if that sounds weird to you, but the truth is, Jesus is saying this. He's saying, if these people don't speak of God's greatness, if these people don't speak of what God is doing, what they are experiencing, that God will raise up some even more unlikely instruments to speak of his greatness, because it's the nature of who God is. When I say that you were created for it, that's a part of your purpose and all that, we have to understand it doesn't, it's not just because it makes you feel good. It's not because, oh, you know, then I feel like I'm doing my part. This is not about us. It's about God. It's about who God is. And God has created us to speak of his greatness in our lives. You cannot experience God and not speak of his greatness. That's just a fact. You can't experience God and not speak of his greatness. The question is this: who is really going to speak of God's greatness? Who is it that's going to do that? Because I will tell you, and if you please just, this is what I see. I see that it's real easy for us to say, well, that's the pastor. The pastor will speak of God's greatness. Or an evangelist, you know, an evangelist, they'll speak of God's greatness. Or maybe it's just somebody that God's done something really special for. They'll speak of God's greatness, but we're missing it, because the truth is, all of us should be speaking of God's greatness. Remember, it is part of our communication. It's part of the words. It's part of the issue of you and your big mouth. You and your big mouth is about speaking God's praises, not complaining, not criticizing, lying, or gossiping, but speaking of God's praises. So another reason why speaking of God's greatness is important is because we have a responsibility to the young. All of us have a responsibility to the young. Some of us don't like the word responsibility. It makes it feel like it's a job. But responsibility can be a privilege when we love what is asked of us, and we love who asked us to do it. Do you get that? It's a when we say responsibility, a lot of times we look at it and go, oh man. But when we love what is asked of us, and we love the person who asked us, then that totally changes how we look at responsibility. It becomes a privilege of why we get to do it. This is true when it comes to speaking of God's greatness too, because loving life is a part of recognizing that God has given us life. In Isaiah 38, it says this, "For the dead cannot praise you. They cannot raise their voices in praise. Those who go down to the grave can no longer hope in your faithfulness. Only the living can praise you as I do today. Each generation tells of your faithfulness to the next." It's a great line. Each generation tells of your greatness, or tells of your faithfulness to the next. If you're a parent, this is important. Your kids need to hear you speak of God's greatness. In fact, in Psalms 145, it says, "Let each generation tell its children of your mighty acts. Let them proclaim your power." So in other words, as it's a responsibility and a privilege that we all have, when you have kids, that your kids, they're going to hear of God's greatness because of their parents. And a lot of times, let me tell you why I think this is so important. A lot of times in our world today, we look at the church as the church is somebody that's going to equip my kids. The church, if I bring my kids here and I send them over to Kids Quest, they're going to prepare my kids. We're only here to do that, to partner with you. They have to hear you speak of God's greatness. Who is the one that can truly change the destiny and legacy of your family? It's the one who experiences God and tells their family of God's power. They tell of what God can do. For me and my personal life, in my home, the person who changed the destiny and legacy of my family is my grandfather, Henry. He was the first one that gave his life to Christ. And he gave his life to Christ, and he led his wife to the Lord. And not only that, but then he raised his children, my mom and her brother, to be Christ followers. And then my parents then raised me to be Christ followers, and I was able to choose a wife that loved God, and then we were able to raise our boys in that very same way. And where did that start? It started with Henry. And for Cynthia, who started it? It was her dad, Angel. I mean, he found Jesus, and when he spoke of God's greatness, he was able to find a wife who also loved Jesus, and it changed the legacy of his whole family. But that's how it works in us. When we speak of God's greatness, people are inspired to know God for themselves. So our responsibility is not just to our kids, it's also to those who are new in the faith, those who are just beginning to follow Jesus. It's our responsibility. We have this opportunity to use our words to communicate the heart that has been transformed by God. Do you get that? It's not, I mean, we don't use these words like just for complaining. We don't use these words for criticism. When God changes who we are, we begin to use our words with a different purpose, to lead people and to expose them and inspire them to the greatness of God. But a lot of times, we don't do that. We have this great opportunity to use our words in a way that inspires other people, to tell people what God is actually capable of. You know what? You should read Psalms 145 this week. Listen to David speak of God's greatness. It is really powerful. It inspires you to know God at a whole new level. That's exactly what is asked of us. And you talk about words producing life. When our words inspire others to know God who gives life, that is an incredible opportunity and privilege that we have. So how can we start speaking of God's greatness? How can we start speaking of God's greatness so that other people are inspired, so that our words actually do give life? Our words get marked with God's greatness when, first, our heart has been changed by God. You cannot, as I said before, you cannot have a new purpose or use new words when your heart is in the same condition. God is the one who transforms our hearts, and God wants to give you a new heart. And sometimes I'll tell you, even if it's God wants to refresh your heart, because a lot of times you might be following Christ for years, but over time your heart starts getting hard. Your heart starts getting a little clouded. It needs something fresh. And we need God to freshen up our lives, because a lot of times we begin to be just a little bit sour towards other people, and it affects our words. Remember, this is about fresh water coming out of the spring of our hearts. It's this spring that gives life. Let me read that scripture to you again. It says, "I will give you a new heart," God says, "and I will put a new spirit within you, and I will take out your stony, stubborn heart and give you a tender, responsive heart." Man, if that's what the heart that God wants us to have, then we've got to let Him do that in our lives. We need Him to reshape our soul that is stubborn, that is unresponsive to Him, that doesn't hear Him, that doesn't even want to hear Him. That sometimes, listen, if I can just be straight, I mean, sometimes we come here on Sunday and we're so distracted that we walk out and we don't even hear the talk. That's an unresponsive heart. And what we're saying is, you know what? My life and my distractions are too important for anything that God has to say to me. And we're kind of running life backwards. David asked God to change his heart. You know this, you've heard it before in Psalms 51. He says, create in me, God, a clean heart and renew a loyal spirit within me. If we want new words, if you're saying, you know what, Dave, I'm really tired of the gossip, I'm tired of complaining, I'm tired of the criticism, I'm tired of lying, I'm tired of my words always being negative, I'm tired of the sarcasm that I can't seem to stop. If you need new words, then you need a new heart. And that's what God does. And if you've never made God the CEO of your life, man, this is the day to start that. Our words also are marked with God's greatness when we are in touch with God's goodness. If you want your words to be marked with God's greatness, then you have to be in touch with God's goodness. When we're in touch with God's goodness, we want to speak of his greatness. And so I ask you this question. Are you in touch with God's goodness in your life? Because the truth is, what has God done for you personally lately? What has God done for you? I know what God's done for me, but I will tell you this. There are things in our lives that we sometimes go, you know what, it's so personal that we do not share it with other people. If you want your words to be marked with God's greatness, then you have to be in touch with God's goodness. Psalms 103 says this, let all that I am praise the Lord. Speak of his greatness. May I never forget the good things he does for me. He forgives all of my sins. He heals all of my diseases. He redeems me from death and he crowns me with love and tender mercies. He fills my life with good things. My youth is renewed like the eagles. And truthfully, are you aware that God fills your life with good things? Are you in touch with God's goodness? Because life is good when we recognize it's a gift. Family is good when we recognize it's a gift. Everything is good when we understand that God has given it. That's what it means to be in touch with God's goodness. Last one, our words get marked with God's greatness when our heart is full of gratitude. This is more than just a seasonal Thanksgiving thing. This is more than just a day of the year where that we kind of say, hey, you know, thankful for all these things in our lives. Truthfully, are you not just in touch with what of God's goodness, but are you thankful for all that God, does gratitude fill your heart? Remember, Jesus said, for the mouth speaks what the heart is full of. And when our heart is full of gratitude, that becomes the expression of our life. When your heart is full of gratitude, guess what your words begin to sound like? They're grateful. They're not condescending. They're not sarcastic. They are grateful words. So what has God done that you are thankful for? Praise is a byproduct of your gratitude. Let me read Psalms 145:9. It says, the Lord is good to everyone. He showers compassion on all his creation. All of your works will thank you, Lord, and your faithful followers will praise you. All of us. It's an expression of our life. Look, and I understand this, that it's very easy for us in our world today that we can be distracted. And the distraction of our lives oftentimes produces a heart that's disassociated from God. It's aware of God, but not connected. And so our words kind of get reflected in ways that are not constructive. And we kind of approach it and say, I don't know how to change the words. I really want to. I'm telling you, if you want a new expression to start coming out of your mouth, if you want words that actually give life, it begins with a heart change. And this right now, band's going to be singing these songs, and this becomes an opportunity for you to express to God his greatness, what you're thankful for, being in touch with God's goodness. When you're singing these songs, we're not just singing words. We're actually speaking God's greatness. Put this into practice. Before we come up, do this prayer time. Let this be a practice time that gets carried out into your everyday conversation. I'm going to ask you a series of questions. We can continue to struggle with the words of our mouth. We can continue to struggle with what they produce. Or we can allow God to really get to the source of who or what our words are and allow God to change the heart that is actually producing the words. And so I ask you the question, have you experienced God and allowed Him to change your heart? Maybe today might be a day that you want, like David says, God, create in me a clean heart and renew a right spirit within me. Maybe that's where you're at today. Maybe you recognize that the heart might be stubborn or the heart might not be as pliable as you would like. This is the time to ask God, God, create in me this heart that produces life, that my words can change. I would also say this, you've got to practice being in touch with God's goodness, and you've got to allow your heart to be full of gratitude. Let me pray with you. Father, first of all, I ask that you would create in us a clean heart, that you would renew a steadfast and a right spirit within us, that you would change the soul of our lives to not be what we want, but for them to reflect you. Father, that you would change something that is stubborn, something that is stony and something that is hardened into something pliable, into something that is life-giving. Father, that you would take a heart that is ungrateful and that you would make it grateful. That you would take a heart that is unforgiving and allow us to not just experience your forgiveness, but then to give forgiveness. Father, that we would have hearts that actually express your love in our lives. Father, help us to be people that speak of your greatness, not just to our kids, not just to those new in the faith, but Father, to everyone, may it be our responsibility. Because you've given us life, because we have breath, because we have experienced you, may that expression be one of speaking your greatness in our lives. We're so thankful for all of the blessings that you've given to us. So thankful for how you have begun and what you have begun in our lives and how you're not even anywhere near done. Father, today, let us be instruments so that the rocks don't have to speak of your greatness, so that no other instruments have to speak of your greatness because we adequately speak and reveal how great you are. Thank you for touching our lives. May our lives and our words and our hearts reflect that change, we pray. In Jesus' name we ask. Everybody said, amen.